Hello and welcome to the Flock Pod. We are at hashtag 138, and ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat today. We have a very, very special episode. We're actually on the red carpet right now here for the Flockies, the first annual 2023 Flockies here at the red carpet. Shane, how are you feeling as we head in here to this award show? Are you feeling excited? What's the category you're most excited for today?
I'm feeling really good. A lot of energy in the air. People are excited. It's buzzy around here. I'd probably say I'm excited for the big one, the overall winner of the year.
Ooh, duck of the year. I like it. And can you talk a little bit about your outfit today? Who styled you today?
I'm styled by Dark Room in the Morning.
Nice. I like that beanie though. Can you get a little pub to that beanie? Where that came from?
Shout out to Chops. Small hands, big slaps, and some merch that I think is no longer available to purchase online.
Exclusive. Vintage. Rocking that exclusive. Love it. Go ahead and head in into your seat. I see Zach Neal from Duckswire walking down the carpet here.
What's going on?
Zach, good to see you. How are you feeling tonight? What award are you most excited for?
I'm doing good, man. There's so many big ones up for grabs. I'm really looking forward to Memory of the Year. I think Duck Memory of the Year is going to bring up a lot of good ones. It's a great year to be a duck.
Excellent. It's going to be a fun category. It looks like styled by Nike today. Definitely pubbing that Uncle Phil today. Looks nice.
Yeah, the Ducks of a Feather sweatshirt. Yeah, I got this for Christmas, so I'm going to hold on for this.
Very, very nice. Yeah, another limited edition. Like it. You guys are coming in hot today. Coming in hot. All right, we're going to go ahead and head on inside, and we'll be right back. And welcome to the 2023 Flockies. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Please be so kind. Go find us on all of your major podcast streaming platforms at The Flock Pod. Give us those 5-star ratings. Make sure you smash that subscribe button, as the kids say. Make sure you get that fresh flockness in your feed every time we come out with a new episode. Also, please go find us on all of your major social media platforms at The Flock Pod. You can find me at Coach Justin D on those same platforms. Shane, tell them where you are.
You can find me at Bartender Shane 6 on Twitter and a Walk Up Flock of Shane 6 on Instagram.
And we are, of course, joined once again by our third Duck Migo in crime, Mr. Duckswire himself, Zachary Neal. Zach, how we doing, bud?
Doing good, man. I love that you said you had a bit of a different intro for us, and we were not ready for that at all, but I think it really worked, so that was fun.
That's why it worked, right? I had to hit you guys, just like a reporter would on that red carpet. I had to hit you guys right in the had to make it real, had to make it genuine. So good stuff, guys. Good stuff. All right, yes, we've got a couple different categories here for you folks. We're going to run through. We're going to give some awards for the past calendar year. Very important, calendar year. Also important to know that all ducks are eligible for these awards, not just current ducks here at the University of Oregon, because we know when ducks leave, they never actually become former ducks. It's always a current duck, men and women of Oregon. So that includes all pro ducks and all non-pro ducks. Also, just those ducks out there living their best life. So let's run through the categories here real quick before we get started. We're going to do biggest news story of the year, Duck Coach of the Year, Favorite Duck Memory of the Year, DOY Duck of the Year, New Duck of the Year. So that is a transfer or recruit that is already here on campus at the University of Oregon. And then Favorite Future Duck. So that is a duck that is committed to come to the University of Oregon. And as we all know, in today's world of recruiting, we don't know if they'll actually land here. But that's kind of part of it, I think, also going into this award, our belief that this young person will decide to actually come to the University of Oregon, and how good they can be while they're here rocking that green, yellow, black, gray, all the other colors that the ducks decide to pink, all the other colors. All right, gentlemen, let's jump right into it here. First category, biggest news story of the year. Shane, let's go to your nominee, your Oregon Duck biggest news story of the year.
So what I'm going with is fairly recent. It's, you know, just sneaking in right under the gun for the parameters of this award here. The Oregon football recruiting fiasco that we just had. Just right at the end of the year here. Just it was a nice mix of optimism, chaos, and disappointment all in the span of about a 24-hour period there where just kind of like all hell was breaking loose. People, I think I was glued to my phone for Twitter and recruits and updates more than I was maybe any other year in the past few years since we've been doing this. And Oregon did land a couple of big names. You know, one got away, and there was a lot of just chaos, I think is the best way to put it. So I think that's going to be my nominee.
I like it. All right. So recruiting chaos of 2022, a day that will live on in infamy, regardless of whether it wins this award or not. All right, Zach, what is your nominee biggest news story of the year?
Mine kind of goes off of what Shane was saying, but I'm doing the quarterback reset that Oregon did. And that involves, after losing Dante Moore, the fact that they got Bo Nix back, and then the fact that they were able to flip Austin Novosad from Baylor, and they kind of took this negative and losing their five-star recruit and turned around and immediately made it a positive and really set themselves up for the 2023 season and then potentially beyond too if Austin Novosad is as good as we think he can be. So yeah, my news story of the year is kind of combining a couple of different stories into this one overarching theme that the Ducks were in a bad spot with the quarterback position, and they turned around quickly and made it a positive.
I like it. I'm also cheating a little bit for mine here, because this news story really began in 2021, but then flowed through just so beautifully and magically into 2022, and then ended at this beautiful, at the end of the rainbow, with our hiring of Mr. Dan Lanning. I think that just the craziness, I mean, you want to talk about Twitter craziness, the meltdown that started, you know, when Oregon started losing to Utah in 2021 and all the rumors about Crystal Ball and Miami preparations and all the stuff that was going on and, you know, sick moms and just all the news stories that were coming out kind of around that whole process.
I forgot about that one.
That was my favorite part. I'm just going home to visit my mom, you know, and shout outs to Mama Cristobal. Hope she's feeling well, you know, hope everything's good there. But yeah, that's my news story of the year, is because it transcended so much about just Oregon sports and became kind of a national story also. And then again, the landing of Dan Lanning. Wow, say that three times fast. And then what he's been able to accomplish here in his first year. So that is my nominee. All right, gentlemen, it's time to vote. Time to vote on these nominations to see who our winner will be. Zach, what news story do you vote for? Oh, and you cannot vote for your own. That way we actually will get some different votes.
We didn't
talk about this, but we're doing it. We're
going for it. For how these are decided.
We're going for it.
My vote is for Shane's. I think the recruiting day was a ton of fun to cover in my world, exhausting to cover in my world, but it was definitely one of the most positive single days of the 2022 calendar.
Yep. All right, Shane, what do you got?
What happens if we all vote for each other?
exactly.
Whatever, we'll get through it. I'm going to go with Zach's because I think it was kind of like the thing that was picked apart the most was this whole like Dante Moore, you know, leaving. But I think the bigger story was really like Bo Nix coming back and then reloading for that 2024 class and just kind of like immediately looking down the road. Yes, Dante Moore was disappointing, but I think overall it's going to be a good thing for the school.
Well, our winner this year for the first ever Flockies, the biggest news story of the year, is Recruiting Mageddon that took place just a little bit ago. Shane's story and just all of the craziness that came out around that. Yeah, I was trying to think of a better name for that, but that's all I could come up with. Recruiting Mageddon. It's really hard to spell. That's really long. It's going to look cool in the notes. All right. Recruiting Mageddon wins. All right. Yay.
Isn't Armageddon negative though? Isn't that
yeah, kind of, but I mean, it was kind of positive. So yeah, maybe we'll have to think of what's a positive one for that. Let's recruiting Palooza. I use Palooza a lot because like it's really Palooza, easy. Though. All right, recruiting Palooza.
I like that.
Palooza. All right, our next category here, ladies and gentlemen, Oregon Duck Coach of the Year. For our first nominee, I'm going to go first. And this one's really tough. Even in my notes right now, as I'm looking, I have two people written down that I really, really want to nominate. I'm going to nominate because I think the other one's going to get nominated. So I'm going to nominate the one they might get nominated. Anyway, I'm going to give it to Dana Altman. I'm going to nominate Dana Altman because just the ability that he's been able to keep this program moving forward. Obviously this year is struggling. But and this will kind of last year too for sure but keeping things together, keeping the boat afloat and navigating these new transfer portal world and this new recruiting world, because this kind of alludes to one of my awards later, but his recruiting class next year is top tier. And again, as we say on this podcast all the time, in Dana we trust, and I trust in Dana to win this award. So Zach, let's go to you, your nominee for Duck Coach of the Year.
My nominee is Kelly Graves. I think that it's kind of been overlooked what he's doing with that women's team. I think they have 8 active players right now on the roster. I know they've been dealing with injuries and 7 aside transferred out. Yeah, it was 7 out. Unreal. 7 until a couple days ago. And they're still, you know, a top 20 ranked team. I forget what their actual ranking is right now, but they're moving right along and playing well. And he's got that team, you know, going in the right direction. So I'm incredibly excited to see what they can do the rest of this year. And you know, it just, like I said, gets really overlooked what he's doing with so little right now. And to have those guys playing with such a short rotation, it's just incredibly impressive.
I'm going to backtrack here real quick because we would be remiss to forget about the best part of recruiting Palooza. The best part of recruiting Palooza was Dan Lanning smoking that cigar and just chilling in his man cave. So sorry, I just thought about that. Had to throw that in there. All right, Kelly Graves is nominated. Dana Altman is nominated. Shane, who is your Duck Coach of the Year nominee?
I went a little bit of a different route than you guys. Well, I think those are both very good options. This was kind of a fun one because like basically everybody's a great option. But I went a little bit off the beaten path here. I went with the Oregon football running backs coach, Carlos Lachlan.
I love it.
And just the...
I was not thinking non-head coaches. I love that.
Yeah, I went a little bit deeper on this one. Just because that group was so excellent for this football season this last year. I mean, it was really like... I mean... none of the players was able to get the numbers that I think they deserved because they were just sharing it with each other. And I think that's a testament to how skilled all those guys are, but also how team focused they were and how that position group leader was able to make sure that those guys were always really excited for each other. And that was, I think, one of the best groups to watch out of the football team this last year.
It's a really good nomination. I really like that a lot, actually. All right. Our votes now. Shane, I'm going to throw it right back to you and have you vote first.
I'm going to go with Zach and go with Kelly Graves. I think he is right. When he was talking, I was like, damn, that is a good answer. And they are like underrated right now as like an 18 seed in the country. And some of the numbers they're putting up with limited players and roster turnover and everything, it's and just, you know, developing these players as they go through. Even the turnaround with Filipina Shea recently has been amazing to watch. So Kelly Graves.
All right, Zach, who do you give it to? Who's your award winner?
You know, I was gonna give it to JD until I heard Shane's answer. I really like Shane's answer because I didn't even think about it. I mean, Carlos Lachlan did such a good job with that running back room, and you know, it's a mix with what Adrian Clem did with the offensive line and what Kenny Dillingham did with the offense in general. But yeah, I think that the Ducks got, it was a very kind of underwhelming hire when they got Lachlan because not many people had heard about him, but then you kind of learn more about him and see what he's able to do. And it's like, yeah, that's incredible. And I think he's got that running back room looking as good as we've seen it in a long time in Eugene. So I would go with Carlos Lachlan.
Actually, again, I really like that. Honorable mention here for, of course, our guy Dan Lanning. I think he needs to be just thrown in here as an honorable mention. He was the other coach that I was going to possibly nominate.
I assumed he was going to be said.
Yep, totally. So
that's why I went. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I thought so too.
Yeah, this is why this is fun. I like it. This is fun. Our winner for Duck Coach of the Year, Mr. Kelly Graves. And nice. Mainly, Kelly is really fun to follow on social media too. It looks like he really cares about every aspect of this program. It looks like he really cares about, you know, these girls having success after they leave the program, whether that's transferring or whether that's leaving to just continue on in life, or when they go to the WNBA or to play overseas. He genuinely, and that's just the vibe I get. I've only met him once, but he seems like that's the same personality he has in person, you know, as he is on social media. Is just very boisterous. Just a really nice guy. So yeah, Kelly Graves. Yeah, Shane, go ahead.
Another thing I love about Kelly Graves is that when the game's going, he like sits down and shuts up. Like, I sometimes get so exhausted with some of these college coaches that are just up and screaming and clapping the whole time. He's like, no. I coach them at practice. Like, it's cool. I'm going to sit here. And he talks to the assistant coaches and like lets them lead timeouts and stuff like that. And he's just like this calming presence about him. I just got done watching the Oregon USC game, and I was noticing it because it was kind of a blowout. I was like, Kelly is chilling. Like, he's in a hoodie. He has like the neon green shoes on. He's like got his arms like on the chairs, and he was just hanging out. And I was like, God, like, I never, the coach I had in high school, I won't mention him, he's now the principal at Willamette High School, but like, he was just like always screaming. And sometimes like, dude, like, chill out. You're making this so much worse.
You would hate watching me coach, Shane. You would absolutely hate. If you just take my part, imagine me then coaching with my person. Yeah, it's all right. So let's go ahead and jump to our next category. And this one is kind of vague and purposefully vague, because this is just your favorite Duck memory of the year. What was the thing that, as you looked back upon, brought you the most joy being a Duck fan? Zach, I went to you last time. Shane, I'm gonna throw it to you first this time for your nominee for Duck Memory of the Year.
I kind of cheated on this one. I had like a specific like play, if we're gonna like go that route, but my favorite memory of this year was kind of just sports as a whole being 100% back and just full swing. And just like, it was a lot easier to go to games, and I mean, like, not to get whatever about it, but however you feel about like the COVID thing, but like, you could kind of just go now, and the vaccine thing was up, like lifted, and we didn't have to worry about games being canceled and stuff like that. So I like, as I look back on the year, like, my favorite part was that, was just like, you know, going to games with people is a little bit easier, and just kind of like a return to normalcy as a sports fan in Eugene.
I didn't even think about that. That's a great nominee. Great nominee. Yep. All right, Zach, what is your nominee for favorite Duck memory of the year?
JD alluded to it a little bit earlier, but my favorite memory was the Dan Lanning cigar video after that recruiting palooza that we saw. I loved it so much. And I think that your opinion on that is kind of based on what generation you're in. Like, I had to talk with my dad about it, I think the day or two after it happened, and he hated it. He's like, oh, it was so arrogant and brash. And I'm like, I know, that's honestly why I loved it so much, because, you know, to be a little bit crass here, he let his nuts hang on the table after that one. I mean, he saw what he did that day and how big of a win it was. And he let everyone know after the day was done. So I just love that. I mean, we don't see Mario Cristobal ever do that. We don't see Chip Kelly or Mike Bellotti ever even think about doing that. And the fact that Dan is just kind of like, yeah, I just did that. And it's everything he was hired at Oregon to do. Yep. And I love that he went on social media and just sparked up a stogie.
It's beautiful. No, I have like a Shutterfly. You can like send photos away and like get little like prints or whatever made. I'm deeply considering printing off just him with the cigar and that little thing I was putting up in my man cave here in my office.
That's perfect.
It's a great moment. That's why I wanted to make sure we included it in Recruiting Palooza. So I'm very happy that you've now included it in your favorite memory. That is a great one. I think this one's going to make Shane happy. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of WNBA games last year, but one game that I watched from start to finish that was absolutely incredible, and we got to really see Because I mean, the mother of ducklings has struggled in the WNBA, if we're going to be honest, like through injuries and battled and whatnot. But everything clicked for her in this game when the Liberty upset the Sky in game one of the WNBA playoffs, 98-91. Mother of Ducklings goes for 22-7-6. I was jumping off my couch. I was rocking the Sabrina jersey. I was going crazy. It was a really fun moment for me. And again, my memory is really not great because, you know, dang head injuries and things of that nature. But that's a memory that really stuck out to me as I really thought back about the year. And so that was just a really fun moment. Again, a little bit off the beaten path here, off the creek here for the Ducks. But just that New York Liberty game and just watching the mother of D, the MOD, just absolutely ball out and be in full control, look physical, look like she was just really in her element and looking now to take her that next level this upcoming season. So that is my nominee. All right. I'm going to throw it to Zach here because he looks very deep in thought. Zach, what is your award winner for favorite Duck memory of the year?
I think I got to go with Shane. And that's not, I just don't really honestly remember that game, the Sabrina game, too much. Like that individual game. I know I've watched her a little bit in the WNBA and she's been a lot of fun to watch, but I think that Shane's of just us getting back to more of a normal scene, having like a really normal sports season, was a lot of fun. I really like that.
All right, Shane, who is your award winner for favorite Duck memory of the year?
I gotta go with JD because that was my other one. And then what it kind of sparked for the rest of the season, and then to go on and play also on that FIBA team that just absolutely dominated the world. And yeah, I mean, it was, I think that we were all very confident that Sabrina was going to figure it out and things were going to click, but I was actually starting to get worried there for a little bit. I mean, I had predicted that Satu Sabali was going to have the better career, and at the time that was like a blasphemous thing to say. And then for a second there, I was like, holy shit, I was right. I didn't expect that to actually happen. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Justin on that one.
All right, this one's tough because I love the Dan Lanning moment. I kept thinking
we might have a three-way tie here.
Yeah, because Zach said the Dan Lanning one, I was like, oh, that is really good. And I mean, that has been like that's an absolute like staple on like Duck Twitter now. But I mean, the Sabrina one was my. Was my other one, so I feel like I had to choose it.
Man, this is really tough. This is really, really tough. All right, I'm making the what is it? The Academy has reached a decision. Just because we've honored the recruiting palooza, we've given that an award, right? And I think the sports being back in full swing is a great nominee, but I think that's kind of all of our reward this year was just our reward to be able to go back to sports. So I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to be egotistical. The Academy gives the award to the Liberty upsetting the Sky and the mother of ducklings.
You're allowed to vote for yourself now.
Yep. I am the Academy. Okay. I am the end all be all of this awards.
Technically, he does all the editing, so you can.
I am the producer.
Like
I am the editor.
That's fair. Yeah.
Oh shit. Miga calling. I'm leaving that in. Leaving that in the podcast. All right. Moving on to our next category, Duck of the Year, DOY. This is a big one. This is a really big one. I went off the path.
Do you
want to
do
here.
This one last?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do it. Let's actually move it to last.
Biggest award, yeah.
All right. I like it. Let's move it to last.
And that is what we call a tease.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, I was in the scripts. This is all scripted.
Yeah, all scripted out because we write a script for every podcast. All right. New Duck of the Year. So just to clarify, this can be either a transfer or a recruit, but they have to be on campus here at the University of Oregon. They have to
transfer a freshman who played.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
In whatever future Duck.
No, this is new Duck.
That's the new Duck.
Oh, sorry.
Future Duck is next. Yep, and these are kind of
signed.
Yeah, these ones can be conflated pretty easily. That's why I wanted to kind of break it down a little bit more for the people. I'm going to go first with my nomination here. I haven't gone first yet to nominate. So, man, I wish I could go back in time and change my takes that I had on this whole situation. It's come full circle, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. My nominee for new Duck of the Year is no other than Mama's boy himself, Mr. Bo Nix. Yeah, I think that's all that needs to be said. I think if you listen to the podcast, yeah, you know my whole shenanigans with this whole story. But yes, that is my nomination. All right, Zach, who is your nominee for new Duck of the Year?
I think mine is Christian Gonzalez, because I think that when he transferred here, we knew it was a big deal, but I don't think any of us knew it was as big of a deal as it ended up being. And he's a first round draft pick this year, maybe a top 10, top 15 draft pick. So what he did for the defense, I think, was just incredible. And where the Ducks would have been without him this year, I don't want to think about. So I think that he definitely gets my new Duck of the Year.
I love it. All right, Shane, who is your nominee for new Duck of the Year?
I also went with Bo Nix.
I like it. Yeah.
Just because of, you know, not only what he was able to accomplish and the success that he brought and being like a fringe Heisman candidate towards the end of the year, but also just kind of like rewriting his story, getting out of Auburn, coming to Eugene, and kind of like, it seemed like, I don't want to like be, you know, hyperbolic or speak for him, but it seems like he kind of like took control of his life and started kind of like rewriting like the narrative on himself. And for that, I think that like that's why the award. I was trying to think of somebody else to give it to because Justin already nominated him, but I'm like, it's you know, we might as well just keep talking about it.
Yeah, that's no, fine. And I think that's, yeah, if we have a double nomination, I think that just means they're the award winner. Yeah, right. I think that makes sense. Yep.
And honorable mention to Bucky Irving as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Honorable mention Dan Lanning. Honorable mention the other coaches on the staff. Honorable mention to the guy we poached from Texas A&M also to like Caleb lead Chapman. Our whole yeah absolutely.
Do you mean the
recruiting
guy?
Yeah,
Marshall Malco.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Shout out sleeper
who never played.
No, sleeper shout out to that guy because I think he's really spearheaded some of this and kind of been a part of this whole process. So
honorable mention Grace Van Sluten, kind of
getting
but also did great player at the end of the year. And I think she's gonna be a maybe potential future Flock Pod Hall of Famer. Yes.
That's a great one. That's
I think
a really,
she's
really
on the
good
watch
one.
List.
Can we think of any do we need any other honorable mentions here for new Duck of the Year?
Kenny Dillingham.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though he was here for a short time and a long time.
Thank you and goodbye.
Kalel Ware, yeah, new Duck of the Year, playing well.
One,
you know?
Yeah.
Especially, I think he might stick around. Like, he's playing well, but I don't think he's playing well enough.
Another season.
And if you look at that class coming in next year and the opportunity to play with those. Oh,
yeah. But he's also made a lot of improvements in the last, like, since like Christmas break.
Yeah.
So I'm also like afraid that he's going to get a lot better really fast. And
well, it's my ultimate fear that people are going to realize what a great developer of talent Mike Menenga is, and he's going to get hired away. That's I think if Dana loses him, I mean, he's lost some other assistant coaches, and it's obviously, I think it's really affected him. Yeah. And losing Stubblefield, you know, I think that was a big one, you know, so. Okay, it's a good one there. Okay,
if only we
Bo
could
Nix.
Get Khalil Ware to just stay in the post a little bit more. That's my only
split it a little bit more. Yeah, you're a classic big man there. I think that makes sense. All right, Bo Nix, our new Duck of the Year award winner. All right, I'm excited for this one. Future Duck. So this is a player that is committed to come to the University of Oregon, but has not played for their prospective sport yet. So they have not actually landed here on campus. They are committed to come to the University of Oregon, either in the 23 or 24 class, whichever you decided to choose. All right, Zach, I'm going to throw it to you first. Who is your nominee for Future Duck?
I'm happy you went with me first because the way that you're talking, I kind of think we have the same nominee for this one.
Do we? I'd be stoked.
I'm not sure. We might. My nominee is Jackson Shellstad.
Oh, no. I have a different one. That's a great one, though.
That is a good one.
Especially after what he just did.
Jackson Shellstad went to West Lynn. He's been compared to Peyton Pritchard endlessly because they went to the same high school. They're kind of the same build, play the same style of game. He just went on an incredible tournament run at the last Schwab Invitational where he averaged, 33 points per game, beat Bronny James at Sierra Canyon in the number 16 team in the nation in the semifinals, beat Duncanville, the number one
that
team
Duncanville
in the nation
win.
In the finals.
Oh my God.
And it's just, it's incredible what he's doing right now. And he's, I think he's ranked like the number 49 player in the 2023 class, but
he's
like
gonna,
that is expected to go up a lot.
I think he
could
gets
get
that
a
fifth star.
Yeah. Thing. He is probably going to get that fifth star this season. Man, the future's so bright with him, and I just can't wait to see him at Oregon, because he's that Oregon grown boy, and he's that hard worker that you can't keep out of the gym. And I, you know, we talked to Dane Allman about him last week, and the way that he talks about
Shelton, special,
you can tell how excited he is. So there's a ton of people that you can nominate for this category, but I think he's who I'm most excited to see.
Dana is just going home and just thinking about that recruiting class, and that's what's like keeping him sane and like keeping him like motivated to keep going right now. All right, Shane, who is your nominee for future Duck of the Year?
So to start this off, I want to say I think we should call this award the Noah Sewell Award for how excited we were before he came to
campus. Oh, I like it. Start
campus.
Naming him. Yes.
And for that, my nominee is going to be somebody whose YouTube tape got me not as excited as Noah Sewell's high school tape, but I got like the same kind of feel. And that was Kenyon Sadiq, the future tight end coming over from Idaho. I remember, like, when Zach told us, I could see the gleam in his eyes, and I could tell how excited he was. And so, I took me about a couple days, maybe 3 or 4 days, to actually watch the tape. But once I actually did, I was like, oh my God, holy shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, the size, the athleticism, I don't know about the level of talent that he was playing against, but that's neither here nor there, because it was dominant. I mean, the space that he was putting himself between people, it was going to translate no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. If we did these awards like a week ago, my answer would have been Kenyon Sadiq, but seeing what Shellstad did over the weekend or the past few days was just like, yeah, I want to give it to him. So, but yeah, like you said, Kenyon Sadiq's just, oh, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I can't wait to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, the wow factor is got to be like in account in some of these videos.
Well, and you look at the way that Oregon kind of utilizes the tight end position now under, you know, Drew Maringer, and of course what we saw with Kenny Dillingham, but like we see pass catchers at that position now and not just like blocking tight ends. And I think they're going to, I mean, he split out wide a lot in high school, and they're going to try and get him the ball in space. And I can't wait to see that. I think that's a great pick.
All right. That is a great, great nominee. I'm going to take it back to round ball for mine. Not the player that Zach nominated, but I'm going to go with the other Oregon-born player that is currently playing at Compass Prep down at Chandler, Arizona, Mookie Cook, 5-star small forward. Not averaging crazy numbers, but he's also playing around a bunch of other 5-stars and 4-stars there, averaging about 11 points per game, but it's tantalizing. The talent level that he has and his explosiveness and playmaking ability to throw him in there with Shellstad and everybody else that the Ducks could have, it's going to be really, really fun to watch.
So the fact that he played LeBron James in a movie, that doesn't turn you off of him? You
no,
personally
no, no
your feelings
no doesn't change it, but I had a moment the other day, because I it's the on-court persona of LeBron that I read, like that video that he put out of him like playing video games, like bringing in the new year, that made me cackle. Like a video hasn't made me cackle in a long time, so like there's some love there, there's some affection there necessarily, but it's more
thing
the
you've ever said about him.
It is, yeah. It really is the nicest thing. Yeah, it's we're not going full turn here, that's definitely not the case, but that video that softened me a little bit. All right, who is our award winner for future Duck of the Year? Noah Sewell, future Duck of the Year. Shane, who do you give it to?
I'm gonna go with Zach's pick and Shellstad. I think that that tournament run there at the Les Schwab is finally kind of put the nation on alert to what type of player he is, going up against some of the nation's top schools, because the Westland is a a successful high school, but I think that Oregon, the best high schools in Oregon, still get looked at as like lesser talent. So so to see that, it kind of puts the nation on alert, and I think it's going to be a big factor in what gets in that fifth star.
Yep, I like it. All right, Zach, who's your award winner?
I want to pull a JD and vote for Shellstad again, but I'm going to go with Kenyon Sadiq. Like I said to Shane, like if we did these awards a week ago, he would have been my pick. But yeah, I think he's going to be incredibly fun to watch at Oregon.
I also go with Shellstad. That run that he put together at the Les Schwab Invitational absolutely cemented it. That was beautiful to watch. I was kicking myself for not going. I was thinking about going this year and just decided not to. And that looked absolutely an incredible basketball environment for Oregon also. So just absolutely love seeing that. All right, the Big Kahuna. Our last award here for the Flockies, our 2022 Duck of the Year, Zach. Who is your award nominee?
I am going a little bit off the path here. I'm going with athletic director Rob Mullins because hiring of Dan Lanning, he absolutely did it again. This guy has the Oregon athletic department and entire program going in the absolute right direction. I mean, he had a great hire with Dana Altman, great hire with Kelly Graves, obviously great hire with Dan Lanning. He's got a good relationship with Nike. He's got the recruiting department in the right place. I think that if you want to like look at the puppet master who kind of makes everything tick in Oregon sports, which is what we talk about nonstop, I think his handprints are over all of it. So the fact that he got yet another great hire with Lanning just kind of sealed it for me.
It's a great nominee, actually. Someone I didn't even consider nominating. Could have been brought up maybe for some other. Yeah, that's a great one. All right, Shane, Duck of the Year nominee.
I am going to go with a guy who had been around the university for a while now, this year being his last year here at school, and somebody who I think was a big anchor on a very successful part of a successful football team this year. I'm going to go with Alex Forsythe. Yeah. I think that he'd been through several coaching changes and if you want to count like assistants and whatnot, but I mean, somebody that just kind of like anchored that team down, that offensive line. And I think that he was somebody that we mentioned over and over again, like, is he healthy? Because like, that's one player who could dictate this entire team's success with a team where you have 22 starters. And, I think when he was hurt, it was the most concerning for us, even, you know, up there with Bo Nix. And on top of that, just, you know, his story with everything, you know, being a native Oregonian and all of that. And then, you know, was he a 4-year starter, 3 years, 3-year starter?
Three-year starter.
Yeah. Which I mean, the center position is incredible. So yeah, that's my DOY.
That's another great nominee that I didn't even consider. That's saying something because he's one of my favorite Ducks off this team. He was on my, really, really, really good story there. I went again a little off the beaten path here. This is another redemption arc for me. This is a player that when he was here at the University of Oregon, I was pretty relentless on my criticism of his play and what he did here at the University of Oregon, that I've come full circle. His jersey now actually hangs over here in my closet. And what he's done, I think, in this calendar year, I think he's basically the mayor of LA now. So I'm going to give this award, my Duck of the Year nominee, to Justin Herbert. Because of what he's done in the NFL, because of getting the Chargers into the playoffs, I think he's undoubtedly a top two quarterback in the entire NFL right now. You know, he's got to be in that conversation with Burrow, you know, Allen, those guys for that even Jackson, Mahomes. Lamar Jackson, if you want to throw. Well, Mahomes, I think, is in tier one by himself. But I think that next tier, okay. You know what I mean? I think he's in that conversation. And that's happened over this calendar year, you know, just his ability to show his special arm talent this year, playing through that rib injury, showing his toughness, seeing how much his teammates love him and love playing for him and sacrificing for him out there on that football field. So yeah, I've come full circle. This is a redemption style arc right here to battle Zuko from Avatar, but we're going with Justin Herbert. All right, your award winners, gentlemen. Your award winners, Shane. Who is your Duck of the Year?
Man, I like this is tough. Because, yeah, I mean, I was about to say it, but I think I'm going to go with Herbert. Yeah. I think Justin's right. I think that the way that he's elevated himself and kind of cemented himself. And I think that part of it for me goes into like some of the criticisms that he got early in the year with that injury and the fact that he was like playing through it. And now the fact that that Sheldon Fish Club president meme has gone like nationwide, and like that's, I think that that might be the what pushed it over the edge for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. All right, Zach, your award winner for Duck of the Year.
Yeah, I'm also going with Justin Herbert.
I
love his it's so incredible to have an Oregon quarterback having the career in the NFL that Herbert's having. I feel like we thought this was going to happen with Mariota, and unfortunately it has not panned out that way, but Herbert is everything we could have ever imagined he would be at the next level. And it's just, it's really, really fun to look on Sundays and have Duck fans like really proud of one of their own. And just to have that in the NFL, it's been great to watch. So yeah, he's absolutely a great pick for this.
All right, I don't even need to vote. It is Justin Herbert as our Duck of the Year winner. Any other honorable mentions? Anybody else you guys want to throw out that, that deserves some recognition here that we haven't already talked about maybe?
Troy Franklin has not been mentioned yet in this whole thing, and he had an incredible year. I don't know that he rises to Duck of the Year level, but
deserves a mention, I think.
According to Shane,
yeah,
the greatest wide receiver to ever play at Oregon. So.
He's up there. I think that, I mean, I almost kind of feel like if we had like a turnaround or like, you know, most improved Duck in the Year award, Will Richardson would be up there for me for what he's been able to kind of like flip at the end of his career here. But I don't know if that quite gets up into the DOY category stratosphere.
I mean, I like adding that for next year, though. I like adding most improved Duck. That's a good one. That's a good one for sure. We'll add that one in next year. I'm just going to use this as a segue. I think a Duck that deserves mention in this conversation just because of, I mean, this last year, but also just his totality here at the University of Oregon. And this gentleman has already been inducted into our Flock Pod Hall of Fame. He was just thrown in. And so we have some loose rules on this, but we're going to clarify him here in just a second. But Mr. Cam Van McCormick, I think deserves a little talk for Duck of the Year also, just for playing through this season, getting out there and you know, playing some key roles for this Oregon football team. So I think a little mention here. And of course, he is now in our Flock Pod Hall of Fame. So the rules here, when we actually get to this nomination, this, we're going to do this every year, and we do our first Flock Pod of the Year. And so when we actually get to nomination time, it has to be a unanimous vote from the three of us. If a player just comes up on a random episode and they've just blown our minds and something amazing has happened, then we do reserve the right to simply throw them in a random episode, and they will just be added.
We can declare martial law at
yes,
any point.
Yes, absolutely. The Academy can just take over and just include them in. All right, so Mr. Cam McCormick is in. All right, gentlemen, we got a list here. We're running a little bit long, so let's try to move through these here a little bit quick, but I think this first gentleman isn't going to take long at all. FlockPod Hall of Fame nominee, Bo Nix. What say you, Shane?
I vote yay, although it is interesting that the preseason parameters were that he must win a Heisman Trophy to be included by one member of the Flock Pod. So I just like to throw that out there because it was the season that I hoped that he would have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and that's fair. And that was me that said that. And the fact that he was in the conversation, and honestly, he stays healthy. You know, this Duck season looks different, and I think he's in New York. I think that's a bit. So he definitely blew my expectations out of the water. So Zach, I'm going to go ahead and speak for you and say that he is in. I think I saw you giving that thumbs up. So anything you want to
the Dennis Dixon Heisman?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yes. Oh God,
I know
Dennis Dixon.
Painful.
Man. Yeah, and another Duck that's doing well though. You know, doing his own thing. You know, crushing it out there.
Can I add something real quick on
Yeah.
Max?
Yeah, go ahead.
As we go on and continue vote, you'll see that I don't love voting for people who their Oregon career is not yet over. But he, with what he did at the end of the season and playing through injury and deciding to play in the bowl game when he didn't have to and sticking around for another year, I think that his character really more than his on-field presence is what, in my mind, makes him a Flock Pod Hall of Famer.
Well, and to overcome the hill that he had to overcome being a player that actually beat Oregon in a big game. I was kind of holding that against him there for a little while too. It's like, how can he be a Hall of Famer or Hall of Famer when he beat us? But yeah, I think
when we started doing this podcast
too. Yeah, it was right around that time.
It was like new freshman in town. We were watching all of his high school tape, trying to see like what this Auburn quarterback was going to look like. So it's a very flock pod full swing as well as like a this season full swing as well.
Absolutely. All right, Bonix is in. All right, our next flock pod Hall of Famer, Noah the Wolverine Sewell. Shane, what say you?
I'm gonna vote yay. I have the autograph photo over my shoulder. Just one of the most fun players to watch.
So jealous when he was photo.
When he was at the peak of his powers, and then even at times this year, you know, like we said, he didn't necessarily have the year statistically, but some of the plays and some of the athleticism just so in. You know, like he encapsulates why it's fun to watch football.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Zach, what say you?
Yeah, come on. It's the Wolverine. While he didn't have the statistical year that we wanted from him under Dan Lanning, we got to see him score a rushing touchdown.
I mean, yeah, we did.
What more do you want? Yeah, he's absolutely in for me.
Clean sweep. The Wolverine is 100% in. And just for those that don't know, I gave him that nickname just because of Wolverine, if you know anything about the character, short, stocky, angry, violent character, that alone right there for Noah Sewell. But Wolverine can also heal incredibly fast. And when Noah Sewell, I think it was an
ankle or foot. Yeah, or something.
And he like bounced back and played the neck. I was just like, this is unbelievable. He got
like carted off in like a leg cast.
Unbelievable.
he was done for the year.
Yeah, we thought he was hosed, but no, just unbelievable. So yeah, very happy to see the Wolverine in the Hall of Fame. All right, our next nominee for the Flockpot Hall of Fame, the aforementioned Alex Forsyth. What say you?
This is funny because I feel like we're voting yes on all of them. I promise listeners, there are going to be no votes to come at some point, but this is another yes to me. Just like we were saying, I forget who nominated for Duck of the Year, but he represents what it means to be a man of Oregon. I mean, he stuck around, was really one of the grittiest players, and always a core of that offensive line that was really one of the best offensive lines in Oregon history. So, absolutely. He's very in my book.
Shane, what say you?
What pushed him over to get the yes vote for me was even at the end of the year, they're playing in these injuries where, you know, like he's obviously hurt. He's having trouble snapping the ball and they're looking at him like, you want to come off the field? And he's looking at him like, are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. No, like at this point, everything I've been through at this school, absolutely not. And, you know, battling through it. So, yeah, I'm definitely going with Alex Forsyth.
Yeah, he's in for me. I brought him up last year. I think he was a bigger piece of last year's team just because of what he meant and keeping that team afloat. And you saw what it meant when he did go down with injury and how the whole offense just fell apart. This year, obviously integral also, and just displaying toughness all over the place. Love giving the big fellas, the pancake eaters, some love here on the podcast also. So yes, definitely Alex Forsyth is in. All right. A little more interesting now, Bennett Williams, nominated for the Flock Pod Hall of Fame. I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to go ahead and say no. I think Bennett did a lot here at the University of Oregon. I think he was an incredible, and nothing to say with his on-field play, but I think some of this is off-field vibes and just kind of, and I don't know a lot about Bennett Williams. I guess I haven't invested into, and I don't know enough about his story per se. So maybe I needed that. Maybe that's on me. Maybe I need to learn more about who Bennett Williams the person is. But I'm gonna go ahead and give it a no vote. Shane, what do you say?
I'm gonna agree with you on this one. His career was great. It just missed just some of the big moments. I do think that he took a lot of shit that he didn't deserve, especially this year. But that's
what got him close for me.
Yeah. And I mean, that's where like I've gotten very defensive over Bennett Williams, and I want to defend him even in this moment, but he was just missing the thing, the play in the bowl game or something that would really just kind of like have that lasting memory here. I mean, he did make a couple of big plays and out there playing with a club on at times, and, you know, another guy who's been here for a while and been a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, but for that, I think he's just missing that key element, that Alex Forsythe moment that pushes him over and gives him that. Because, I mean, Forsythe was, you know, somewhat on the fence for me, too.
All right. Zach, what say you?
I hear you guys. I don't really disagree. But this was a yes vote for me. And I do disagree with JD because while I don't think that his on-field, he wasn't the best on-field player we've ever had. He had his lapses in coverage, whether that was a poor fit in where he was put at in scheme, or just, you know, blunders on the field that happens. But off the field, I don't think there was any player that I enjoyed more, especially this season, than Bennett Williams. He was always one of the most well-spoken guys that we ever got to talk to in interviews. They continually rolled him out every week after practice to have media sessions with us. And even after, look at like the Washington game when he gave up, you know, the game losing play, honestly, with that, I forget how long the touchdown it was on third and whatever, but, and he could have easily blown us off after the game and not wanted to talk to any media members. And he stood up and talked to all of us and, you know, gave us a lot of his time when he didn't have to. So I think through and through, he was one of the nicest and like I said, most well-spoken and respectable players on the team. I give him a yes vote, but I completely understand why you guys did not.
See, and that's why you have that inside info, right? Of actually, you know, talking to the kids and things of that nature. So yeah, that's valuable, but you never know, you know, maybe he does something crazy and there's always, you know, a possible future nomination in the cards. We will keep track of players that were nominated and kind of keep tabs on them. But for right now, Mr. Bennett Williams is a no. All right. Our next nominee, Mr. Mace Funa, nominated for the Flock Pod Hall of Fame. Zach, what say you?
This is my first no vote of the day. I think he's a great player. I think he's contributed a lot. I still think he has a lot to give, though. I don't think that his career as a whole is yet worthy of being a Hall of Famer. That's not to say that, you know, he's coming back for one more year. That's not to say that, you know, next year, the start of January, we're not putting him in, but I think that there's still a lot left to give for him. So for the time being, I will say no.
I'm just going to echo Zach's sentiments exactly. That was exactly what I was going to say. Same thing. So yeah, Shane, go ahead, sir.
I'm glad you guys said no. So it gives me the opportunity to say, yeah, I vote yeah. And he doesn't get in, but I think he's awesome. He's one of the first players that our first ever like recruiting episode of the Flock Pod.
That is true.
It's something that I was really excited about. And then I was kind of afraid that he got lost in the shuffle there for a minute. And to see him kind of come out and this last year be almost a little bit more of an elder statesman on that defense and get better every single game as a Duck. So I'm voting yes, but missing out on the whatever.
nomination.
Well, no, nomination, but that is inclusion with yeah, I don't know the right
that is important context to bring back up, though, that we did talk about him on one of our very first ever recruiting pods. I mean, he's got a good story here, so we'll be obviously watching closely this next year to see what he is able to do. All right, our next Flock Pod Hall of Famer nominee, the last nominee from this current class, then we have some oldies that we're gonna vote on also here. But Do I try it? I'm not going to try it. Big Sala. Nominate Big Sala, the offensive lineman for the Ducks. I really want to. I mean, we're trying to get better about names, guys, but I also don't want to absolutely.
Sala, Amuave Laulu.
Well done,
but
sir.
He went out and said, it's cool. Call me that. Yeah. Because okay. I'm done with people. I'm done listening to people try. So, like, let's just fuck it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I understand. I understand. It's just always, you know, I have that little part of me and I always try to do that for people. But yeah, okay. Big Sala. Let's go to Shane first. Shane, what say you on Big Sala to the Flock Pod Hall of Fame?
I'm voting yes, partially because I don't think he's getting in. I don't, you know, he's a fringe guy for sure. But for me, he's a player that I am watching nearly every snap on this Oregon football team just because I am so interested in what he's going to do, good or bad. it's a roller coaster when it's good. I mean, the highs are high. The lows are pretty low. I know a lot of Duck fans are frustrated by him, and they're probably going to be frustrated by me even bringing this up. But I just think he is so incredibly fun to watch, and he falls into that, like, Kenyon Sadiq, Noah Sewell realm or whatever. Like, this is why we watch, is, like, guys like this.
All right, Zach, what say you?
See, this is tough because, like, I want him to be in so badly, but I gotta say no. I just it's not a career worthy of a Hall of Fame nomination for me. But you know, I like Shane said, he's a ton of fun to watch. And when you see him out there running in space on run blocking and getting downfield to the second and third level, there's nothing more entertaining to watch. Yeah.
Eating but, people's lunch.
It's just, I don't think he had, if he had done what he did this year for 2 or 3 years and been that big of a difference maker, I think, yeah, he probably gets in, but, it was close for me and I had to say no.
Big Sala is like if Troy Polamalu took the Hulk serum and like turned into just like this like beast of a man. This is good. I'm gonna say yes, but he doesn't get in, and I like that because this is why we need
the bad guy.
No, you're not. Well, we were the bad guy earlier. That's okay. Vibes. You know, just vibes, just all vibes off Big Sala. You can't miss a play that he's out there. You want to see what he's going to do. Really, really fun player at the University of Oregon for his career. But I respect it. I respect that he doesn't get in. And again, we'll keep tabs on him. This is a guy. I mean, Zach, do you know anything about his NFL projection?
Mid-rounder. Okay.
We'll be able to watch this guy on Sundays. So yeah, we'll keep tabs on that. And we'll have
get drafted or be an undrafted free agent at the very, very least.
Yeah, and we'll have more info on that coming forward too.
He could end up in XFL or USFL mm-hmm. range as well.
Something like that, yeah, which would also be fun and give me an excuse to watch XFL football.
Nick Pickett.
Yeah, big hit Nick Pickett. Oh, man. All right. All right, so those are our this year's class. These are some past ones. This is an oversight by us. This is a gentleman that just won our Duck of the Year award. I think this is going to be an easy slam dunk for all three of us, but Justin Herbert nominated for the Flockpot Hall of Fame. Shane, what say you?
I vote yes for all the obvious reasons in the world. I just want to point out that it wasn't an oversight by the Flock Pod.
I tried. Okay, hey, hold on. We're going to edit this out. Don't worry.
But yeah, I mean, everything he was able to do here, the fact that it was just brought to my attention earlier today that Oregon might be the last Pac-12 team to win a Rose Bowl, potentially, with it, you know, the ramifications of the game changing, and that would have been Justin Herbert and that amazing game against Wisconsin with that amazing sunset on that silver helmet. And that just one of the most picturesque games you can ever find. He's from Eugene, Sheldon High School, underrated all the way through everything he's doing, even just seeing him on the sidelines of that bowl game there. Mm-hmm. He can have all the money in the world. He's never not going to look like a Eugene kid.
That's so true.
Eugene so Anakin true. Skywalker. That's just what he looks like all the time. I give this a huge yes. I could literally go grab a rock from my backyard and hit Sheldon High School. So I feel like if I don't say yes, like my house is going to get egged or something of that nature. But also just because I think that he really should get in. I mean, this is a guy that what he's accomplished, you know, at the university and what he's accomplished at the NFL, just absolutely unreal. I mean, we obviously just gave him a Duck of the Year award for what he's accomplished. So that is a slam dunk. All right. I added two since we've started the podcast, and this is one that I've added. And I don't know if he is in or not, but I just want to make sure he's in. So this is going to be somebody that I'm voting yes for it because I'm nominating. Mr. Cliff, I smoked it all. Mr. Cliff, I'm here to shut shit down, Harris. Nominated for the Flockpod Hall of Fame. Shane, what say you?
Oh my God. I'm going to go no. I smoked it all thing is funny, but he got pulled over going like 100 over there on like I-5, dude. That's not cool. That's
my
sketchy.
My heart just hurts. That was a roller coaster of emotions because I was so happy when JD said Cliff Harris and then when Shane just shoots him down.
And then, I don't know, a little bit of a disappointing NFL career. It's Cliff Harris is fun.
He played in the league. I don't think he got drafted, but he did play. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know if he's Hall of Fame worthy. Cause I mean, we gotta have a standard of something here.
I respect it. I respect it. He may be somebody that just gets nominated every year moving forward and might just try to wear you down, but he is somebody that is not going to get in this year. All right.
Blasphemy.
Our next nomination, this player was on the pre-show notes. And this is a big yes for me. This is a slam dunk yes for me. Just vibes, just total vibes. Ms. Erin Boley, nominated for the Flock Pod Hall of Fame. So I give it a yes. Zach, what say you?
Good with me. Yeah, she was a really great player when she was here, and I think she absolutely deserves to get in.
Shane?
Rumor has it on dark, quiet, rainy nights in Eugene and an empty Matthew Knight Arena, you can still hear Boley bombs. So I'm 100% going yes. One of my all-time favorite Ducks. So much attitude on the court. So well-liked by her teammates. You can tell just such a happy person off the court. But, God, you get her out there shoulder-checking, hip-checking with people, you know, lighting it up at the corner, rebounding for her size. One of my all-time favorite Ducks. Easy yes.
Yeah, and just vibes, just off, just looks like she's living her best life now. I think she got engaged or married recently. Mm-hmm. So yeah, shout out Ms. Erin Boley. So this is another one that I added. I think we already threw him in, but just for posterity's sake, just to have it here on the record, and I'm assuming this is going to be a slam dunk yes. Was in the news this year, obviously, for what he did in the NFL. Took some crazy flack from Georgia fans and Atlanta fans all over the place, but he's got to be in, Mr. Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure, just yeah, posterity's sake. Yeah, we're kind of putting everything on the record here. So,
well, were we doing it since the Flock Pod started?
I think that's why we're expanding it now. So I didn't want to listen to all of our
back. There's a lot of guys that need to get in if we're going.
Yeah, and we'll get them in. Yeah, we'll start getting them in every year here. But this is the official class going in. We've got a couple other people that we're going to add to the list here that have been, you know, inducted previously. But yeah, this is just to make sure that everybody is getting in. This one's bittersweet. Again, I think this is going to be another slam dunk yes from us. And we were hard on this player here on the podcast. But a fun player to follow. Always, you know, beloved by his teammates, and just a very sad story here for the University of Oregon football team. But nominee Spencer Webb. Shane, what say you?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to even question no when you just see the reaction from the teammates and the impact that he had on those guys. And you know, it's hard for us to know how much these guys mean to each other because they don't really let us know, and when it is known, it's amazing. So yeah, it's an obvious yes for me.
Yeah, I agree with what Shane said, and this team really, they rallied around that tragedy that was given to them this offseason, and I think that they were made a lot better for it too. I think that is the type of thing that can happen. And I mean, it happened early on in Lanning's career, obviously, and it allowed him to bond with his team and kind of come together. And they turned, you know, an absolutely tragic situation into something positive in the end. And I think they were able to use it to better themselves and remember him very well. And they will continue to do so in the coming years. So yeah, an absolute yes for me.
You know, and we were giving him a lot of flack for some off the field stuff. You know, here in Eugene, you hear stories, things of that nature. After he passed, I actually had a acquaintance of mine who worked at a bar kind of reach out to me and tell me this really great story about how, you know, Spencer was always a fun loving guy. Definitely didn't shy away from getting into a little bit of trouble when he was out having a good time. But was always there to protect people. And in this instance, actually protected a young lady who was in an uncomfortable situation. And so Just shout out to Spencer Webb, and into the Flock Pod Hall of Fame he goes. All right, gentlemen, any last second nominees here for the Flock Pod Hall of Fame? I think we've reached the end here. This has been a good podcast. Hope everybody has enjoyed the Flockies. We didn't talk about this, but does anybody have a last take? Do we have a last take to fire off for today? Zach shaking his head no. Shane, do you have a last take for us?
I got a couple things.
Ooh, I like it when he makes that, when he kind of speaks with that inflection in his voice.
One thing I just want to throw out there real quick, Khalil Ware and Philippine Ashe, I think both are, you know, I just watched a good amount of their tape today. from recently, and huge improvements from both those players over the past week, basically since that Christmas break, playing with some physicality, confidence, and like a little bit. Oh, we got Zach's little
guest appearance. Oh my gosh. We need an interview.
But out there just looking like they belong a little bit more. And just want to say both those players deserve a big shout out. My hot takes, though, I got two of them. One is sports related. The other one isn't. First one, I'm going to call right now the Oregon men's basketball team is going to win the Pac-12 tournament championship.
Whoa.
The best team in the Pac, not in the Pac-12, but in any conference. I think the best team rarely wins their conference tournament because they usually already have their ticket punched. And I think that this Oregon team is showing this scrappiness right now. They've gone through a lot of adversity, and I think they're going to get a lot better in the coming weeks just because I think guys are kind of finding their roles a little bit. But watching them play against Oregon State and some of these other games, they have this they have a lot of talent, obviously, but I think that they're realizing they got to be one of the scrappiest teams out there in order to win. And I think that's going to be a fun thing to watch coming forward. The other thing is just a little bit of a bone to pick I have with the world. Holidays being celebrated on the weekdays when they fall on the weekend is like the most horseshit thing ever. The post office and like the dump stuff, like I don't know how they're closed on a Monday when New Year's Day was Sunday. And this whole idea of holidays falling on a weekend and being transferred to a day and people getting an extra day off, I it hasn't sat well with me the past 48 hours.
I like it. I'm going to use this opportunity. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least comment on this here on the podcast, just with what took place on Monday Night Football. Tragic incident involving Bills safety DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the field. He's showing signs of improvement. That's the latest, you know, that we have in the news. So just giving him and his family, you know, I don't usually say prayers. I say vibes. So just sending all the vibes possible to them and their family. I think the way that if you'd like to support in this instance, and I'll try to find the link, but a GoFundMe that was created for a toy drive that he was doing has gone from about $15,000 total to over $6 million in the last 36 hours. So I'll try to include that link in the show notes if you feel so inclined to donate and to help a cause very worthy. So just shout out and just hopefully he's able to make a full recovery. So Bill safety, DeMar Hamlin. All right, this feels trivial to end the podcast now. Sorry to end everything on a down note there, but I just thought we should at least mention it, at least talk about it here on the podcast. Take care of your chicken. Take care of your mentals. We appreciate you. We love you. We out.
Peace.
I think that's the first time I've said that backwards. I've been doing that a lot lately. I think I'm getting like dyslexia.
I didn't even notice.
I did. Weird. I did see a tweet right before. Baby Leah. Baby. Like, what's that? Let's look at that face.
Oh my gosh, it looks, dude. There's so much Mac in those eyes. I know. Oh my gosh.
A lot of people tell us to like, wow, she's just like really a mix of both of you. It's kind of crazy.
Well, it's like the Mac eyes and like your nose and like, yeah dude, nose. That's so funny, man. They're just their little mashups of other humans. It's so crazy.
Human beings remix.
Seriously. All right, gentlemen, I really feel good about that. That was a really good pod. I think we threw it together and I'm proud of us.
Nice production work on the fly there. Just like throwing in those extra names, those other people. It was good.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the Cliff Harris one would be fun. I was excited to see your guys' reaction for that one.
I'm still mad. I almost wanted to vote no on Aaron Boley just to get back at Shane.
I smoked it all thing was a fucking, like, I mean, like, cool. Like, I, you know, we all smoke weed, but that was like reckless driving.
It was, man, no, you're taking the adult angle and I respect it. You're 100% right. You're 100%. I just love the interview.
Who is given more like memories and quotes and fun to the team, I think.
Hi, my name is Cliff Harris, and I'm here to shut shit down.
He's why we call the Natty.
Yeah.
It's also true. All right, gentlemen, I got to get going. I got some shiitake to do, but appreciate you, gentlemen. Okay. Have a good one. Talk soon. Late. See you guys. Sorry.
Do you want to dance?
Huh?
Do you want to dance?
Yeah.
You know you make me wanna shout. Kick my heels up and shout.
A little bit softer now. A little bit louder now.